Hey, y'all. Hey, it is Lolita E. Walker, and I am so excited about this episode today. Guess who I am bringing on? Sex coach Heather. Get your pens and pads ready, get your thinking caps on, and get ready to be uncomfortable so that you can become comfortable, okay? Heather Tucker is a sexless marriage coach for Christian women specializing in sexual freedom and emotional intimacy restoration. We are talking about how to become free, be free, live free sexually. It's episode 35, y'all. Let's go. Welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker, the podcast that coaches you up while meeting you exactly where you are. Grab your water, tea, or something stronger and allow this podcast to help you feel the power in your pause. Come on in and join the conversation. Let's go. Oh, we have a spicy episode today. Now, how many folks listening in truly have a sexless marriage? Not too many people want to admit that, but guess what? There's a lot of folk out there. So today, this is going to really save some marriages. I am convinced. I'm absolutely convinced. We talk about everything from trauma in your life to carrying these generational stigmas of communication or lack thereof about what sex was, what freedom in sexuality was or is, and how that looks in our adulthood. You know, on this podcast, I'm always talking about the notion of being free emotionally, physically, spiritually. This today is about freeing yourself sexually. Heather has such a powerful story. I won't even tell you how many years she was in a sexless marriage and how she recovered from that. And once I heard her story, I said, listen, she has got to be on this podcast. She will be coming up soon when we get to conversations. But if you're new around these parts, I want to say hey and welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. Around here, we break things down into three layers. The first is all about coaching. Now, this is where we just leave you with a couple nuggets just to challenge your thinking a little bit. There is no judgment. If you want to leave it at the bus stop, go ahead and do that and take with you what you may. Now, cocktails is not so much about what you're sipping on. It's more so about celebrating the greatness of who you are when you show up to this kitchen table each and every podcast episode. And then there are those good old fashioned conversations. Now, sometimes it's just you and I, and other times I have a special invited guest. And today's guest, you've already heard, is sex coach Heather Tucker, and she breaks everything down. She helps us to get vulnerable, talk and challenge ourselves with what is in the way of us maneuvering in our sexuality. Without any further ado, it's time for some coaching and a little bit of soul work. Yes. So today I hope you have your CCNC journal with you right now and you are taking notes. This coaching exercise is simple. But I would love for you to draw, you know, one of those swirls. You start with your pen in the middle of your paper and then you go around and around like a snail. Well, I'd love for you to do that. In the middle where you started, you're going to circle it. It's just going to be this dark circle that's right there. Now imagine that is you. Now around these swirls, I want you to write five folks that are in your immediate circle. Press pause if you need to. I'm going to do the work myself too. So five folks that are in your circle that you interact with every day. Love it. Now, I want you to imagine this. Imagine you as that dark circle right there in the middle of your paper. Don't you think it's true that anytime you have a bad day, that all of those people feel the wrath of you? Let's say you said no. When you are feeling emotionally fed, when you are having your wins, when you're smiling all day, everybody feels that amazingness of you. Imagine if those are dominoes around you. Now imagine if physically, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, you are feeling good. Guess what? Everybody else around you is going to be feeling the spirit of you feeling good. Now imagine when one of those aspects are taken away and they're not at their greatest height. Then what? Sometimes we get irritable. Sometimes we get frustrated. And who gets the brunt of us? Yep, those five people. Absolutely. So today, we are talking about the notion of being free. And what Heather is talking specifically about is sexually. But in this section right here, I want you to close your eyes and take in this notion of be free. Believe in your strengths and open your mind to now explore. Expect moments to have meaning, which will propel you to soar. Face your fears head on, yet hold them at bay. Then release what is not progressing you on today. Experience the unexpected, which you would normally let pass by, and then embrace the renewed you who is now free to fly. Be free. Now, remember, throughout this episode, we are talking about the notion of being free and releasing what is not progressing you on today. That poem right there is most of you all know who've been here before, who've listened to me on any platform, that the notion of being free is really so that you can release all of you and be willing to be fed with newness. So it says, believe in your strengths. You first got to know what they are, right? And then know where your gaps are. And open your mind to now explore. You have to be willing to explore the endless possibilities that are you. Expect moments to have meaning, which will propel you to soar. What if today you pulled on some information, you were fed information that will help you soar differently and intently? I'm just saying. Face your fears head on. What are your fears that you have around sexuality? Have you truly released yourself? And would you say that you are free sexually? Just a question for you to ponder over. Face your fears head on, yet hold them at bay, then release what is not progressing you on today. Experience the unexpected, right? Maybe this is unexpected for you. What you would normally let pass by, what if sexuality has been taboo? And embrace the renewed you who is now free to fly. And I cannot wait for you all to email me at podcast.lolitawalker.com. You can write it in our Facebook group, Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. You can hit me on Instagram at Hey Coach Walker. Just started a TikTok. Listen, there are too many ways for you to let us know what this podcast has done, including writing a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or podcast.lolitawalker.com. I cannot wait for your feedback, because I tell you, when you think differently, when people challenge you differently, which is what we do on this podcast all the time, woo, it is so great. All right. So that is what our coaching exercise is for today. Not too hefty, because we definitely want to keep on moving. So you ready? Let's go. It's time for some cocktails. What are we celebrating today? What are we celebrating today? Well, I just want to give a cheers to all of the folks around the kitchen table. I am giving you an advance cheers for shaking yourself up and thinking about sexuality differently and more expansively, especially in your relationships. So that's the first cheers. The second cheers I'm giving is our latest 3 podcast reviews. I'm so excited about these 3 5-star reviews. The first one, want to shout out Ivory F. It says, I am a huge fan of everything that Lolita puts her name to. She has a gift for bringing a blend of so many unique elements to her podcast. Elements of growth, of intellectual stimulation, of caring and heart, and elements of humor. I really do feel like I'm sitting right there at the kitchen table with her. And she covers a diverse array of topics and excellent guests. Thank you for all that you do, Lolita. And thank you, Ivory F. I appreciate you. Whoop. The next one is from Camille Joy. Love this show. I absolutely love this show. I feel like every time I hear Lolita speak, it is just powerful. Thank you for your boldness and life-changing conversations. Okay, Camille Joy. Thank you for listening and for taking the time to write. And here is the last cheers for our reviews. It is from Nishone. Absolutely love, love, love. And let me tell y'all, Nishone actually also comes to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations, the Zoomcast. It says, everything about this podcast I absolutely love. Lolita, your coaching is always on time and on point. Oh, thank you. The bullets are a highlight for me. I love the way you connect it all and give us pause to think deeply and intentionally. Thank you, Nishone. I so appreciate you. We'll give some more shout outs on the next podcast. But here's a cheers to everyone who takes the time to really write a podcast review. It just means so much, not only to the algorithm, but really to me, just to see and hear how this podcast is affecting folks and what they really, really think about it. It is just so inspirational to me and really helps me going on days where I need a win in order to push forward. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And my final cheers is to all of you power women who have already locked your space for the September 16th through 19th Women's Weekend Renewal Retreat. Here is a message for all of you all who are still thinking about it. Imagine yourself in a space free of distractions and ready to get poured into. Imagine an intentionally intimate space of power women leaning on you to shift from where you are today to where you absolutely want and need to be. Imagine me as a certified life leadership and executive coach grabbing you exactly where you are, pulling the greatness out of you and replaying that such that you increase your confidence, your clarity, and your commitment. Imagine a new group of women who are just like you and ready to push you beyond your next level. Yes, it is your time. So go ahead and head over to lolitawalker.com/retreats. Learn a little bit more and register for this upcoming Women's Weekend Renewal Retreat. What an amazing gift that this is to you, from you. You deserve it. It's time for some good old-fashioned conversations. Hey, Heather, and welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. I am just so excited to have you today. Welcome.
Thank you, Lolita with a T.
I absolutely love it. I was in a room the other day and someone said, can I ask you, why do you say Lolita with a T? And I said, you know what? A lot of people pronounce my name Lolita. It's Lolita with a T, not a D. And they said, oh my gosh, I thought you were dropping the T, all the juiciness, because I say juiciness a lot too. And someone else said, I thought you were taking tea with the T in your hand. And it was hilarious. Anyway, I am so excited to have you because you are the resident expert when it comes to talking sexually free and being empowered with that, especially with your husband, your wife, and really in a Christian perspective. And I absolutely love it. Before we get to your story, just want to have you introduce yourself with one strength that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have, and then let's get into it.
Okay, sounds good. So hi, everyone. My name is Heather Tucker. I am your resident encourager. I love encouraging people. You could be down, up, twisted, sideways, whatever it is, and I will bring you right back to you.
I love it. And that's exactly what you do. Your personality is so bubbly. So the first time I heard you, I said, you know what? Not only is her story so encouraging and so amazing, my mouth was open. I cannot wait to share with everybody. Guess what? She's got to be on the show. So thank you for saying yes. Listen, today we are talking about how to be a Christian and be sexually free at the same time.
Ooh. Taboo. Can the taboo mic just drop?
Yes, taboo mic drop. So let me say this. When I say you're the resident expert, tell the folks that are at our kitchen table about your journey and how you got to doing this work right here.
Yeah, of course. I would love to. I grew up in a very strict Baptist church background. Everything was hush, hush, hush. You don't talk about this. You don't talk about that. And sex was one of those things. I even remember all the way back, and I want to say it was sixth or maybe seventh grade, one of the boys down the street, he said to me, Heather, will you give me a blowjob? And at that time, I had no clue what that was. I went back to my mom and I said, Mom, what's a blowjob? And she said, what? Who said that to you? I'm going to go talk to their mom. That reaction right there, Lolita, it actually started this thought process that sex was wrong, that sex can't be a free conversation. It made me doubt as I was growing into womanhood. It made me doubt my sexuality. It made me feel, even just wearing, like, you guys can't see me today, but I'm wearing a leopard print mm-hmm. with a rhinestone pocket on the shirt. And even something like this as a kid that would draw attention to the woman's body was like a no-no. So we were raised that everything that would bring attention to the woman's body, that would make her look feminine or more curvy or more, you know, anything that would bring up a lustful thought to a man or any of that, it was put on the woman as the responsibility of fault. I have definitely been in a very tough background where I was a very sexual being. I remember the first time I got horny. I remember the first time I got wet. Like, I remember all those things. And it was at a very, very young age, but I had no one to talk about it at all. No one I felt comfortable with. I couldn't go talk to my grandma because she was a missionary. I couldn't go talk to any of my friends because they were all church kids. And I just assumed that they were being raised underneath the same, you know, stigma of like, you don't talk about it and you'll find out one day when you get married. And that was like literally all I heard. Don't worry about it. You'll understand when you get married. That does not help me at all for what is happening inside my body right now. Like, what do I do when I get into relationships and I want to kiss a boy? Is that wrong? Everything just felt like a sin. Mm. Like legit, everything felt like a sin. I lived in that oppression all the way into my adulthood. Even when I was having sex with people that I was in a relationship with, I still felt that it was wrong, even though I felt love for them. And even though they were open and free themselves, I just would push them away on certain things. I felt like I couldn't fully express myself. I withheld a lot of myself, was fine with missionary style, but I felt like some of the other things like anal and some of the other oral things were just, you know, wrong. And I was going to go to hell, like all these things. And so I just kept myself from fully releasing, which then kept me from my full happiness and my full joy. And so Lolita, the personality that you see here today was not who I was 5 years ago. I mean, I'm going to be 48. It really wasn't until I was 44, 45 that I was like, you know what? I'm done. I had been, you know, married 2 times, had 3 boys, a couple of miscarriages, a lot of stuff that has happened in my life that has been good and bad and trauma and getting over trauma. But that whole time, I just was like, God, I feel the real Heather in me wanting to bubble out and wanting to come out. But I had no one in my life to give me permission. And so at 45, I had to give myself that permission. And I had to let go of the worry and the fear that God would not approve. Mm-hmm. And I had to let go of the fact that I might lose my salvation with God, that God might not love me anymore. What I realized at 45, when I fully gave myself that permission and just let go, I realized 45 years I lived a lie. Like Satan kept me from truly experiencing the freedom that God actually has for every single one of us. Because as soon as I gave myself permission and I let go, on the other side of that, I have actually seen God approving and I feel him so much more deeper. Like my relationship with God has gotten better. My relationship with my husband's gotten better. My relationship with my kids is better because now they get the full me. Mm-hmm. Now they get the full me. So that's the backstory.
Oh my goodness. Now that is amazing. And I know the folks listening in are really tapping into that 45 is where you had this sexual empowerment. Let's just say this freedom that really released you and allowed you to be happy, as you would say, and then walk in the world a little differently in how you showed up. So I have a couple questions for you. You know, what's so interesting is that I also was raised Baptist. I'm Baptist today. And my parents actually were very open with communication about sex from a very young age about it. I mean, we went to church not only on Sunday, but I was on everything. Between usher and choir practice and fish dinners after church, we did it all. But my parents were very open. And just to hear the spectrum of religion and how that plays and how that shapes us, really, and interpretation of the word, is so interesting to me. Some of the things you said is that there's this stigma that's related to church and related to religion. There's this oppression that comes that you begin to live in because of the beliefs that's being put upon you.
Right.
And not until you decide to really heed what's happening in your body and find somebody to talk about it with, are you able to release?
Mm-hmm.
You use that word too, release. And I thought that that was really good because really on Coaching Cocktails and Conversations and even with LolitaWalker.com, it's all about empowerment, empowering you to shift to the best version of yourself. So I like that you're really talking about this exploration of your body in this huge release that is happening. Talk to us about how now you've been at a point where you were living in oppression. Now you're 45 and you're figuring out, okay, let me release. There's somebody listening right now that's saying, I'm in my marriage. I haven't had sex for years. We're going like a hamster wheel, going, 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 but we're not communicating. We're not talking and we're not having sex. What would you say to that person listening in right now?
First, I'd want to give them a big hug because I understand the loneliness. Oh, try not to cry, Heather. I understand the loneliness of what that feels like because my husband and I, we actually lived not completely sexless, but almost sexless for 12 years out of our 20.
Wait, did y'all's mouth drop too? The first time I heard that story, I was like, 12 years? Wowzers, right?
Wow. And I would say like there were some times where we would have sex like once a month. Sometimes it would go 3 months. There was one time where it went for like 5 or 6 months. For me personally, because I'm such a sexual being, and I feel like I literally feel my husband's love for me, like those love bubbles that you get, right? When you're receiving the love, I feel that more with physical touch. And so when I'm not, you know, getting my hand held and the hugs and the kisses and the amazing sex that comes when you're married and you have God at the center is so powerful. When you're not able to experience that, you do go into a deep depression and you're very lonely. It can also be a very dangerous place too, because if the person that you're with is not giving you what is required as a husband, and then you have little flirtations over here from other people that are kind of speaking into what's missing, that could be a very dangerous. I did give into that for 9 months out of that 12-year sexless period. Communication is definitely huge, but when you're in a sexless marriage, normally sexless does not come from the lack of sex. Like normally it started a long time before the sex actually stopped. If you're in that situation, is to go backwards and to figure out all of the things that actually led up to the sexless period. What I had to do is ask myself those deep questions too. And they were super uncomfortable because for those 12 years, I blamed Chuck. Because he was the one that wasn't instigating and he was the one that was saying no. And he was the one that when I would approach him and get myself on top of him, he lifted me off of him and put me to the side. So there was a lot of rejection feeling for all those years. I blamed him. But when I decided to actually go very, very deep inside and have that real truthful conversation with God, and I just said, hey, like, I'm open to discovering what it was that caused this. And if I played any part, I am willing and open to take full responsibility for that. God showed me some very, very interesting things. One of the things that he shared with me was how you can actually push your husband away from the very smallest things, because husbands inside their DNA, they're super sensitive. They're super vulnerable. They like to feel safe. And if there's anything that we do that can actually cause them to doubt that they can feel safe with you, they will actually pull themselves away subconsciously before they pull themselves away physically. There was a lot that I was doing that I didn't realize was taking away my husband's power. I would question him when he would say, let's do this. I would say, that's wrong. Like I don't do it that way. Like this is the way. There was just little things like that, that I didn't realize were the contributing factors that then led up, you know, to the sexless period. So there was a lot of like those kinds of things that compiled on top of each other that then ended up with us being sexless because he got into this headspace of, you know, I can't even be myself around you. And that's sad. I did that, not even knowing it. So I had to go back and say, like, sorry, I recognize. From me recognizing then my husband then took the responsibility for him himself too. Here's what I did. And now we're on the other side of it. And now every time that we say something and it might trigger us, like we're having those conversations right away so that we're not reliving our past experience. And we're now asking each other, like, wait, what did you actually mean by that? Because we never did that before. Did you mean that? Or did you not mean that? Like, is this me? Is this from my past? Now we actually have sex like teenagers. It's so much more powerful. It's so much more of a soul bond. And we cry together. Sometimes we feel the presence of God and we're praising God for this amazing sex that we now have. And we're so thankful that we didn't give up because it would have been a lot easier for us to walk away, which a lot of people do. So.
Absolutely. You know, I think that sex, money, and communication are the root of a lot of frustrations inside of marriages. And this is coming from someone who is divorced. Mm-hmm. And really, when you think about it, sex, money, and communication. And I love that you talked about that. We could also throw religion in there sometimes too. But really, when God is not at the center, and you're not going to God, in my estimation, for help. Sometimes when you're lonely, there's other things that come at you, distractions that get you out of the way of focusing on exactly what's important. And I heard you say so many things. One, I'm so glad to hear that you said, I came and said, hey, this is how I contributed. And I was waiting for you to say, my husband also came and said, though. So I was so glad to hear you say that, because oftentimes as women, what I find, especially with my clients, is that we take all of the brunt of the responsibility inside of a marriage. And there's two people that have to be there to make it work. Now, I am absolutely down for you self-discovering and you recognizing, like you said, but just to hear you say, and my husband then came back, I was like, yay, yay, that is amazing. So let's talk Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, hey. Hey, Chuck,
hey. Let's hey, talk you, hey. Chuck. Yes. You know, you're 45.
By the way, I call him Chucky Poo. So if you guys ever meet him in person and you want to embarrass him, call him Chucky Poo.
I love it. Listen, so you're 45. You have this renewed energy. You're doing this self-discovery. You're realizing, oh my gosh, I'm doing these things. And at the end of the day, a lot of men want affirmation. And I haven't been affirming at all. I've been actually over the top. And now he's seeing this shift in you. What type of conversations were you having with him, number one, in order to even come to the table so that he too could do self-reflection? That's the first question. And then the next one is, talk about his reaction when you started talking about this to the world.
When I first came out, what helped me is music. And what helped me is dancing to music. Mm-hmm. I took a dance class. I hadn't actually taken a dance class since I was a teenager. I used to be on the dance team, loved to dance, loved it. But then, you know, you have kids and responsibility shift, you know, changes and you kind of lose, well, you don't kind of lose yourself. You do lose yourself. Okay. You lose yourself in your kids and in your marriage. And it's very easy to put your sense of self and independence to the side. I feel like I want to get back to Heather, you know, like I want to remember all the things that used to make me this giggly person that you see now. And I went on that journey. And so I looked here locally and there was a dance class, literally like I could drive down the road. It was only like 4 minutes from here, super close. I had no idea that it was even here the whole time, but it was a burlesque dance class. And I had never danced sexy before because, you know, I was always taught that it was wrong, but something was pulling me. I was in this state of mind where I was ready for that. So I drove down to the class, super nervous, never had worn heels, you know, dancing. And so I actually went in my tennis shoes. As soon as I walked in the door, the dance lady, the teacher came right up to me and she hugged me and welcomed me. And all of these dancers welcomed me. I was the oldest one there. I'm still the oldest one there, by the way.
I love it.
But like all, all these people are like in their teens and 20s. And here I am 45, like wanting to rediscover myself. But you know, they saw the growth.
Yes.
And now, what is it? 45, 6, 7, 8. So now 3-4 years later, they look up to me. They say I give the biggest Olaf hugs. And so they like my Olaf hugs. When I started to dance again, and here it was all this line of women. Okay. Have you ever taken a dance class like this, Lolita?
No, the way you're describing it. So this line of women, I've taken a pole dancing class, but this sounds a little different.
Imagine Beyonce, like in the Coachella. So all of those women in the Coachella, they're all dancing in the line and you could just feel the empowerment, right? Mm-hmm. Now this class, exactly the same. Literally, I stepped into a room where they were giving us permission mm-hmm. to step into our empowerment. And I had never been given that permission before, ever. And so the very first beat of the drop of the beat and like the routine that we learned, and here I was, you know, kind of doing it haphazardly and fumbling a little bit. You should have seen, I still have the recording from my first class. I have the biggest smile on me and you can tell that I've got tears in my eyes. And it was like, I have needed this entire time just to have a space where I could give myself permission to fully release. So I kept going. I kept coming back and kept coming back. And the more I went, the more I felt Heather come out. I was getting more confidence in the steps. And then I put the heels on. And now I wear these sexy heels that you guys would not believe. I wear so many different types of heels, some lace ones, some like peekaboo toe, some thigh high. Like I get all into it. I dress up like I'm going to perform and I get into the costume and like the whole effect of it. And I go and I just release. And it's so amazing. I bring it home. The first couple of months, I kept it to myself because it was so good. But I also had some fear about like, what if I do bring this type of energy to a Christian marriage? Is this going to make Chuck feel uncomfortable? And is he going to approve? So that kept me from actually like sharing that part of it with him. 4 months or so in, he knew I was going to class, but I never showed him the videos. I never like shared anything, the moves, nothing. About 4 months in, I was like, hey, can I actually like perform this in front of you? Like, would you be open to me just showing you what I learned? I love it. And he was like, yes. Nope. So we went into the bedroom and I was like, okay, I'm going to put on the same outfit. Like I'm going to dress myself up, like do all the thing. And so I put on the song. I stepped into this Beyonce vibe because that's what I do now. It's like this come down, almost like an orgasm, but it's like you're stepping in and you come down and you're just in this body and you're in this movement. And so I started to perform in front of him. I started to take off my clothes. I started to tease with my clothes. I was bending over and showing him my naked ass, everything. And I had never done that before, ever. Normally, our sex was like, turn the lights off, tight under the covers, you know what I'm saying? And like, discover each other in the dark. The lights were on. And it was like, I was in this performance mode, but I was looking right at him. And you should have seen his face, Lolita. He was like, and the very first thing that he said to me, I still remember this. I have been waiting for you to come out.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And I was like, you have? He's like, I know of other women that are sexually free in the bedroom and they talk about the stuff that they do with their husbands at work. But I didn't know how to bring this up to you because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Wow. And I didn't want you to feel uncomfortable. And I didn't know if you'd be open to it. And I was like, oh my God, I have always wanted to, but it was like, I had to give myself permission and then I had to get comfortable enough to feel safe with you to share it. And now that I see, you know, that you love it, like I want to do it more and more. He loves it. He himself is still struggling with like body confidence issues. Mm-hmm. So while I have fully stepped in, no matter what size body I'm in, he has not fully stepped in, but he now knows that I'm not judging him for his body. I'm not telling him anymore, you need to go work out. Like, I'm fully accepted and I love him and I am making love to his soul, not, you know, necessarily his body. The more that I am appreciating him and showering love on him and compliments, and now I talk to his dick, which men love, and I'm like, I love it. It makes me feel so good. I love its size. And all of the things that are like affirming to him, I'm starting to see that he's starting to slowly step in to himself.
And I think it's also, you know, we each have a love language of how we receive love. A lot of men is this affirming piece. So what you just described is like, I'm affirming more. You're sitting in it and you're more aware. And the more and more you affirm, the more and more you love on him, the more and more he feels that love. So the more and more he'll come out. It's just so good. Earlier, we just talked about this notion of a domino. And as you become free, look at all the folks around you that are now affected by your freedom, which is then is love, which is then awareness, which is then acceptance, which is then happiness, right?
Yep.
Exactly. No, I so love it. We could talk about this forever. I absolutely love it. But let me ask, at what point did you say, I am doing this for me, my husband, my marriage, my God, and not for the world? Because a lot of folks trip up because they're worried about this person's going to think that you're still going to church. You're still talking about being sexually free. But there is this pressure that comes oftentimes because you're worried about what everybody else is going to think of you. So when was it that you leaped over that? And then what do you do when it gets back in your head?
Oh man, that's a big part of my story. I shared right away because I felt it right away. I felt uninhibited and I didn't know that there would be any judgment, to be honest with you. I wasn't prepared. So I just started sharing everywhere. I was like sharing my sexy dance videos on Facebook and Instagram and all the things. I thought everyone would be like excited and want to come to dance class with me. And I was inviting people and I was just being a social butterfly around it and stuff. The hate that I got was awful. It did come from the church community. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of people that had followed me for years for my weight loss journey because I had lost over 100 pounds and I was actually helping people in business-wise with their weight for a real long time. They were used to me posting before and after photos and that was fine because I was standing still and I was clothed. But now here I am, showing these dance videos, dancing to really sexy music, touching my body in a very sexual way. In burlesque, you literally touch your boobs. You don't stay there long, but you're dragging your fingers in a very sexual way across it. You're dragging your fingers on your ass. You're pulling your fingers up as you move and you're touching your hair. And this should only be done in the bedroom, like in front of your husband. So the kind of comments that I would get as you should be on a stripper pole. What does your husband think? Does your husband know that you're doing this class? Does your husband know that you're posting these videos? And then I had some private messages that said, I can't follow you anymore, Heather. I was fine with you doing weight loss, but I can't condone what you're doing. It's very uncomfortable. And don't you know my kids are watching? Mm-hmm. Whoa, I wasn't prepared for that. And so in the beginning, I did pull back emotionally on this a little bit. I was like, should I pull back? Should? So I did start to question a little bit because you guys, the more that you get to know me, you're going to know the last thing that I ever want to do ever is to steer somebody away from God. The only thing that I want to do is bring people closer to God. And that's my mission. And I do this through sexual freedom and through marriage, you know, emotional intimacy and all the things. So when I heard those comments and people would say, you're going to lead people, you know, away from God and you're going to be sending them to hell. Like those are the kind of messages that I was getting. And I was like, oh no. But then finally I had to decide, no, these are the very people that I am called to help. And I had to feel that deep inside my soul and I had to show up in spite of, and I allowed the people to unfriend me and I just allowed them to go their way. The people that need this, that are ready for it, that are in the place that you were in, Heather, at 45, where you were done with the, you know, with the religious oppression, and you were ready to step out from under that and to step into the real freedom that God has when you are sexually free. Those are the people that you need to do this for. And I'm going to be here for when you're ready.
How do you connect being sexually free with Christianity? What is the linkage?
Well, the linkage is that you can be a born-again believer. Mm-hmm. You can have Jesus in your heart and be sexually free at the same time. I think where Christians tend to trip up is that they think it has to be inside these separate boxes. You can either be a Christian and you can either be sexually free. We've been taught all these years that they had to be separate and that you had to choose. It had to be one or the other. I am here to say no. God created them to be together. Not only do you feel different inside, all the relationships that you have change for the better because you literally feel like the freedom inside your soul. You're no longer living in worry and fear. And what if I lose my salvation? And what if anything, you will actually feel God giving you this approving nod, and you will actually feel him telling you, like, well done, daughter, I have been waiting for you to step into this moment. That now you're ready can be whatever God has called you to do, whether it's like what you do, you know, with your mission, what I'm doing with my mission. If we are not feeling free in any area of our life, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, they all go together. Mm-hmm. So you can't free up your mind and keep sexuality as a prison. You know, you can't keep that in the chains. You literally have to unleash your mind, unleash your emotions, unleash your heart, unleash your spirituality, unleash your sexuality. They all go so flowy together. And when one of them is off, you will find that you are probably living in a more depressed state. You might have more anxieties. You're not sleeping as good. You're not getting, you know, along as good as you can in all relationships, marriage, with your kids, whatever, because you're being called. God is calling us to this freedom. And when you stuff the call down, you're doing yourself a disservice. And it's literally taking you longer to get to the desired life that all of us dream of.
Oh, wow. So good. So if you were going to leave the folks at the kitchen table with three things, so let me give you a scenario. There's someone that's listening in right now, and they are saying, oh my gosh, this actually has sparked something in me. I can feel something bubbling up. I know that I am not as free sexually as I really want and deserve to be. What's three things that they can do today?
One of the things that you have to do in order for this freedom to happen is you have to know the root behind why you're not stepping into your freedom. So that for me was my religion, my upbringing. For you, it might be sexual trauma. Maybe you were in an abusive relationship where your previous husband beat that down out of you and he would not allow you to come fully out into yourself. So the very first thing you got to do is you got to know where the root is that's keeping you from being, you know, sexually free. And you have to heal that. You have to uproot it, heal it, let it go, forgive, do all the things so that it's not keeping you from being sexually free. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would recommend is if you need help, don't do it alone. So if you know that you've got these roots and you don't know how to heal them, or maybe you've already gone to therapy, but you're still feeling locked up inside and it hasn't helped, hire yourself a coach like me that literally specializes and has gone to school to help women to release, you know, from those past traumas so that they can be sexually free. I always say go to therapy, but sometimes the therapy is not enough because sometimes the therapist doesn't actually specialize. To really unlock and unleash, you need someone that specializes and has actually gone through it themselves. And then the third thing is, once you're in and you've released yourself and you have fully unleashed, don't let anybody try to take that back from you. This is going to happen. You're going to make people feel uncomfortable, and you have to know that's going to come with this. But I promise you, the more that you continue on this journey and you don't reverse it, you're actually a living example of what another person could potentially do for themselves. Dance if you want to dance. you know, get sexy with your husband if you want to get sexy, bring in the toys, do whatever you want. Because when you're free, you're giving himself permission to be free. And then you guys are just going to have the best relationship and sexual experience ever. And obviously, you're going to be more happy. So
yes, because it translates into the other aspects of your life. I love this, love this, love this. Wish we could talk about it all night, but I'd love to close with questions. And I call it a come as you are round. And so here we go. The first is, why is what you do so important to the world?
Because if I don't do it, you're gonna stay stuck. I'm actually the first one in my field that's doing it. I've already talked to several pastors' wives that are sexually stuck and are not free. And they need this. Mm-hmm. Because if they can be sexually free, they're going to impact their congregation, just is going to have this amazing positive ripple effect for everyone. So I have to, I literally feel like this mission is required of me.
Love it. Love it. What is one barrier that still stands before you today?
I would say the fear of being rejected and abandoned. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still worry about, like, I still care about what other people think. So every day I'm doing that work. Every day I wake up, and if I have thoughts of caring too much or worried about what other people are going to think, I address it right away. I go to God with it right away. I journal about it. I do my belief work, and I get really deep into the why behind why it's required for me to still put action behind it.
You know, so many people do. So thank you so much for sharing that. Here's our final question before we get into how people can contact you, because there's absolutely somebody who is saying, I have got to get in touch with Heather because the work she is doing is not only going to save my marriage, but it's going to save me. I trust and believe that the work that you are doing to kind of shake out generational stigmas, to allow a husband and wife to really open themselves up and with one another and look at each other differently and more intently and really express themselves without really feeling guilty or ashamed or embarrassed is so amazing. And to feel that love and to have it permeate out into the world, I think it's amazing. And that's why you're here on the podcast, helping with how
Thank you.
Yes, people can be empowered and shake the taboo of sexuality, especially yep. when God is at the center of you. So before we get into how they can contact you,
here's I have a Bible verse around that too, if you want me to share it real quick.
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, it's legit like what you're talking about. Genesis 2:25. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Do you see how far we've come from how God created the sexual experience to originally be? That's why I'm here. I want to help us get back to the original design of how God created sex to be. Unashamed, uninhibited, completely free.
Okay, I love that. It ties it all right in, right? Nice and concisely. I like it. So here's the last question. It is this. What is one strength that you absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that you have, but you didn't always know it was a strength?
My sexuality.
Yep.
Yeah, because I stuffed it down. I stuffed it down for 45 years. Now I see that it's a power. It literally helps me to step into this empowerment that God has designed for all of us. And I'm like, oh my God, Heather, I think back all this wasted time, but I didn't know. Like you don't know until you know, like, right? You don't know until you know, but you know, yeah. So that would be it.
How did you rediscover that it's really sex? I think you actually said it. There was just something you were always knowing that there was something more in you. Like you were a sexual being. You could.
Yeah. I've known it.
Yeah.
I've known it. And I never had sexual trauma. So it didn't come from that. Or nothing, you know, I know sometimes when you have sexual trauma, you think about it more and all that, but I didn't have any of that. I just knew I would look in the mirror at 10, 11, 12, and I would feel it. I would feel the sexual being in me. I just have always known it. But when I would ask questions or get advice or try and get advice, like no one wanted to talk about it. All those years, I was like, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with me? And I would take it to my prayer closet. God, what is wrong with me? You made me like this. If you say that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, why is this in me? But people are telling me that it's wrong. And so I literally had to come to that realization that God made Heather like this on purpose. And there's nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, it's my greatest strength. And now it's being used to help other people.
I too was young when I could feel that there was this sexual tension. So I'm very sexual as well. Like, you can feel it. I know it. And that's why I was so happy that my parents were so open. We talked about it, and maybe they saw it in me and were like, listen, we're going to have these discussions. And I know, because my father would tell me that it wasn't easy discussions we were having. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really think that it was going to happen that young in his estimation. And at 12, we were having real discussions that I don't even know if some adults would have those type of discussions. So now inside of our society, my son is 9 and I'm having conversations with him, even at 7, you know, starting to really introduce the notion of being this sexual person, you know, when children start touching themselves, really starting to have those conversations, because now they're finding out stuff on the internet, and I don't want the internet teaching my child.
Right.
I don't. So I love it. And I always said that I would have super open communication with my children the same way that my parents did, because that is one thing that I absolutely appreciate both of them for.
So you're really lucky. I think that, you know, especially in the Baptist background, to hear that you had parents like that, I never have heard of any Baptist parents being like that. So I think that you're very, very lucky, because it's definitely a rarity for sure.
Yeah. So how can people get in touch with you? Because there is somebody like, come on, Lolita, let the lady say how we can get in touch.
Lolita, give me Heather's phone number. Hurry up.
So how can they get in touch with you, Heather?
Oh my God, this is fun. So yeah, I'm on Instagram. You can find me at Sex Coach Heather. And then my new jam, which is how I actually met Lolita, is on Clubhouse.
Yes.
So I'm also on Clubhouse at Sex Coach Heather. And I would recommend, when you go and find me on Clubhouse, to go into my room that I created called Sexless to Sexified. Inside that club, we talk about all of this stuff and more. So you will literally have a very safe place to get all of your questions answered and to feel more comfortable around the sex conversation. I am also on Facebook. So I have a Facebook community for Christian Wives, which is called Christian Wives Support Group, I believe is the name. On my Instagram, you'll actually see inside my bio, there's a link tree. So you can actually apply for sex coaching. And I get into all the avenues, emotional intimacy, the actual sex stuff, whatever you want to talk about, you feel like you need help with sexual trauma. I help, you know, women to heal from that. So I actually would apply for that through my link tree. So that way I get a real good feel for where you're at, where your struggles are. So that way I can actually let you know if my work would be a benefit to you.
I love it. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. This has been so juicy. I will have all of the details inside of the podcast show notes. And if you have enjoyed this conversation that I'm having right now with the amazing Heather, the sex coach, then make sure you leave a review, because we would absolutely love to hear about it. Thank you, Heather, for being here.
Thank you, Lolita, for having me. I love you so much.
I love you. We have concluded another episode of Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker. Connect with me at lolitawalker.com for speaking, coaching, and my book, The Intersection of You and Change. Next time, bring a friend. Cheers.